Welcome to the Shulamite Podcast, an extension of Shulamite Ministries and Shulamite.com, with weekly interviews and teaching with author and speaker Martha Kilpatrick and hosted by John Enslow. This weekly podcast is a way to stay connected to the ministry. So come experience anointed messages, not giving just another method, but a living impartation.
I remember reading early on of a missionary after 40 years in the mission field. He said, I was ill for the exact number of Sundays that I did not rest. And that impacted me enough to have a day. And because of church things and so forth, it's not Sunday. I'm not interested in the law of the Sabbath. That's not it. But it's just is life. Life is quiet and I would love to know how quietly Jesus lived. I believe, of course, he would go up into the mountains over the Galilee all the time and spend the whole night in prayer. And we tend to think he was talking to God all that time. I doubt it. I would think he would be just being still and getting away from the crowds. There's both an advantage to being with someone and a disadvantage. I can drain somebody, and somebody can drain me, and then we've lost ourself. And so,
what I've learned in the whole deal is that once you've established that in your being, in your life, then you don't have to prime the pump. I can get it like that. I can just, before, I would exhaust myself with waiting. I'm like, this is exhausting. Mm-hmm. But now I can stop, and it's there immediately. The pump is primed, and the stillness.
Oh, that's so important. I've never heard it put that way. Golly.
Does that make sense?
That's awesome. Yes.
So, Ladonna said, do I think it's because it's faith in his presence? And I think it is that, because in part, because I've,
you've made it a habit.
I made it a habit. And then I trust that he's,
and you would have faith if you were experiencing it.
Well, I mean, I can tell you that the years and years and years, I tried to do the whole early rising thing. Now I can't but do it. Because my body's like, let's go. Mm-hmm. But I would go to early rising because I believed that it was what I was supposed to do. And I would go there and I'd wait and it was exhausting. It was awful. I hated it. I would usually leave mad. Because I was like, okay, I've just waited for an hour for you and nothing happened. See, I wasn't looking for him. I was looking for something to happen. So I had no faith in the quiet, the stillness. So then he had to say, okay, well, you really want that? So let me give you 2 years of nothing. Hey, like that. And I was like, well, I hate this. He says, yeah, you really do.
But captured you.
But in that, I said, okay, now I see your value of this time. I see why you want it, not why I want it. I wanted it because I wanted to put the coin into the vending machine and give me my cookie. That's what I wanted. And he didn't do it like that. He said, no, I'm not a vending machine. I'm not a slot machine. You're not going to, you know, put the coin in and pull the lever. No. Just because you woke up and you're waiting for me and you played a worship song and now you're sitting waiting quiet so that I'll speak. No, I don't work like that. I do it how I want to do it. And so he said, okay, well.
And that means waiting. For him to show.
But now that he's done that and I see the value of it, I can connect. I can stop and be like, okay. All right, I can be in my place even if he's not doing anything. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I'm in the right mindset that if he wants to speak, if he wants to move, then he's able to. And if not, yielded, he's still there. Exactly. I'm yielded and bowed. But it doesn't take an hour to get my brain to shut off. You remember you used to give an example of taking the things that were coming up in your mind. You put them in a little bag and you remember that?
Yes,
well,
I do. It worked.
Well, I tried the bag forever. And I was like going, well, I shove it in the bag and it comes out and brings 15 people.
If something would come to my mind apart from the Lord, I would put it in a little brown bag and put it at the foot of his throne in my mind. That was the access to the...
So it was like, okay, my tires are bald. I need to get new tires. Okay, I don't need the tires right now. I'm putting them in the bag.
So it's a lot mental. To get quiet is really getting rid of the action going on.
Yeah, because there's trapeze artists bouncing all off of my head.
Yeah.
And it's all me.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful.
I also think the hard part about it is silence brings you into the reality that you are alone. And we are really don't like that reality. Life is lived alone.
That's exactly it. And I hated it because I was an only child. And that was like a death sentence. I was like going, where's my brother or sister? Well, they're not coming. Oh, so I'm alone. Yeah. And the silence, it's like a megaphone blast. See, that's what it was. At first, the silence was loud. And now the silence isn't loud. What were you going to say?
Mountains brought down, valleys lifted up. That smoothing out. And I think about thought patterns that are developed. Truly ruts in your physiology in your brain that you continually think about these things, and that is part of that evening out so you can be quiet.
That's an amazing scripture for it, isn't it? Because that's exactly what it is.
Kind of how I visualize what the Lord is doing in my thought processes is those low places are brought up, the high places are brought down, the creepy places are made straight so I can be quiet.
That's it. That's exactly what it is.
He's doing it for you.
Wow.
It is done. It's not something that he assigns us to do. I will do this. I will make
it. Oh, that's crucial.
I was going to add that. In affirming what you're saying, John, as far as your ministry in the lives of, say, church people, I don't know other than that because that's what I am. But that call to silence is your strength. You will not, and I make fun of the times that you told me, go hear God. And I would be livid. I'd be frustrated. At times I thought, it'd be nice to have 2 years like John and get it all out. I had 20 years of it. But every time, it was hysterical. There were times when I was left alone that I was just, I can't do this. And coming up to the church and all. So my mind was just rampant, just could not stand silence. I had to do something, had to be something. And so you would continually, over that period of time, I would call and want an answer. And how do I get out of this? And what do I do? And blah, blah, blah. And you'd say, you give a verse, see what I'll get back to you, and you wouldn't. But it forced me to the place over 20 plus years of being okay with silence, you know, even within our marriage, of no, that's not the solution either. Are you willing to accept being alone the rest of your life, just you and me? And it took a lot to come to the place to say, yes, if that's what you want, I will accept that. And it took many years of fighting, kicking, and kind of like you're talking about your experience, sitting there for an hour. I play guitar, so I'd be doing worship songs and, okay, God, I'm in the mood. Where are you? And not getting
That's
anything.
Perfect.
And just, you know, I knew enough to Bible study and meditation and all those things, and it just didn't work. But you constantly would say, go hear God. I had no idea how that worked. And it came to a place, John, as you're saying, I see it a little bit differently than walking in the light. I don't know, you know, it is faith, based on faith, but it's the belief that God's sovereign, and he's using, and Joan's been helping that, of the basis of life, the simple things. Doing your job, doing your chores, doing your work, and he comes when he wants. And there were times where a thought would come, or I'd hit the floor in the middle of a chore, something I was doing. It was like, what's going on? And come to the point to go, okay, this is a point of time. I need to listen. This is his time. And so that's where it gets exciting, to where, okay, I'm no longer under compunction as a religious person. I've got to have that 2 hours in the morning quiet time, and he'll come. Just all day, and allow him at his turn to come as he would will, as sovereign. So
that's great. That really is. It's, and compunction is a great word for it.
And legalism.
Yeah.
It becomes, we make it legal to ourselves. And it's more natural than that.
And the cool thing is that once you hit that place of stillness, then it doesn't matter if there is noise. You can still be in the stillness. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The lone woman said to me, Martha, I know when you check out and leave the room. Joan is not. You too.
She has immediately left the building.
And I'm not aware of that at all.
Her and Elvis are out.
Oh, what a life.
So, but then you can weather the storm of chaos. Then you can weather the storm because you've entered into a relational silence.
And you know that verse, is it Hebrews 12, where it says, get rid of every encumbrance and the sin that so easily attacks us.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it say? Gaze at Christ, who's author and finisher of our faith. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my scripture. That you go and you look at him.
Yeah.
You look toward him, whatever that is for you, looking up at the sky. But you go looking for him and waiting for him. And
see, that was, you gave me that as a treasure. You would tell me to do that, and I didn't know how to do that. You didn't give me the 1, 2, 3 ABC steps of how to do that. You just said, go do it. And then I went to do it. And I had to meet him in that and find it. Because you're in dark, in silence. Until the chaos and the noise is down, it's dark. And then once it's established in your life, then it's light. Then you go and it's light.
Into the light.
It's not dark anymore.
Wow.
But I think it's exactly what...
Once the aloneness is accepted, I think the darkness goes. Mm-hmm. Because the real darkness is the anger at being alone.
That's perfect. Yeah, that's perfect.
Let's see if there is a method, and that was my little brown bag. Get rid of every encumbrance. Mm-hmm. Everything that you're carrying that's not about Jesus.
Right.
And then gaze at him, and he will give you the faith. And it just comes naturally if you follow that. You have to get rid of your burdens first. What, Dave?
Well, that's the new covenant. I mean, the old covenant, you know, mm-hmm. they said, Moses, we know that you've seen God. Mm-hmm. You put the veil on so that we can talk with you. You share what God said. We can't face it. The new covenant was that God within us, the veil was torn, and we have that relationship, and there's not longer that fear.
Mm-hmm.
The fear is that I can come at any point, but it's that all aspect of Christ in me, the hope of glory, that makes a change,
mm-hmm.
to make it something easy.
Well, this is going a wonderful direction that I didn't plan.
That was wonderful.
It's wonderful.
We hope you've enjoyed the Shulamite podcast. For all the latest from Shulamite Ministries, please visit us at shulamite.com. where you'll find Martha's daily devotions, posts from getalongwithgod.com, and the online library of all of Martha's writings. At shulamite.com, downloading the free Shulamite app is easy, and livingchristianbooks.com is only a click away. Thank you for joining us on this journey to discover a God worth knowing.